This show is sponsored by NatureBox. Order great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and get in shape for summer with healthy, delicious treats. And they're great for you, too. We're talking healthy and great-tasting snacks like PB&J granola, pistachio power clusters, baked sweet potato fries, South Pacific plantain chips, and over 100 more. All with zero trans fats, zero high fructose corn syrup, and nothing artificial. You'll even find snacks that are gluten-conscious and non-GMO. And with free shipping anywhere in the contiguous states, NatureBox is busting up the vending machine's monopoly on your midday hunger. Support this podcast and get 50% off your first order. Go to naturebox.com/SBNation. That's naturebox.com/SBNation. Time to snack smarter. Stay full, stay strong. Go to naturebox.com/SBNation. That's naturebox.com/SBNation.
Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. But, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got a mob of optimism, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest going, more so than any other, and our mountain west matters. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a start where Jeremy analyzes the matches and kiss us in the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. You love this podcast too.
That is correct. This is the Mountain West Connection podcast. Thank you for Chris for always doing our intro theme song. We have a couple of rotates here or there. It's just me tonight, Jeremy Moss, hanging out. Chris had prior obligations and I was too slow to get a co-host. However, don't fear, it is not me tonight here for a show. This is our, as I always talk about nonsense and randomness for our shows, that is clearly not the case tonight because we have a guest tonight. As you don't know, the NFL draft has been pushed back about, it seems like about 1,000 weeks, but really about two. It is this Thursday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th, and we're bringing on an excellent draft expert, Matthew Fairburn, from MockingTheDraft.com, part of our illustrious SB Nation network. He does his own mock draft. They have their own podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. Great stuff. Great things to listen to. And, hey, he will be on in a couple minutes to break down any questions you have. And we can actually take – people may not know. I know we don't have a ton of live listeners. But, yes, we do have a phone number, and tonight would be a good one after about – I'd say about the 25 past the hour or so, depending on how long I go with Matt. We may take some questions or Matthew. Maybe I'll ask him if it's Matthew or Matt. That's a good thing to know as well. But what I do know is that we'll have plenty of questions. If you want to call in, we'll definitely do that. Just Mountain West questions, obviously. Where is Capri Bibbs going to go? What about Austin? If I can remember the names, I just made up a name there. Like Derek Carr, obviously. Devontae Adams, Isaiah Bruce. A lot of guys will get into that. Ben Wickery, a lot of players. So here's the number if you want to call in. We'll pretty much shake you right away. We'll see how it goes. But it's 347-637-3347. Give us a call if you want to do that. And also, you go to our Blog Talk Radio page. It may take a minute to find it, but the link's on our website, mwcconnection.com. There's a Skype link, too. So we haven't done that before, so hey, maybe if we get a phone call, he may be the lucky first caller to hop on. But tonight's show, as it was last week, brought to you by audible.com. Head over to audibletrial.com/Mountain West. Get a free book. Free 30 days, some free audiobooks. As I mentioned last week, my favorite is Stephen Colbert reading me his I Am American, So Can You. I don't care, it's 5 years old. It's him narrating the book. Amazing. And apparently, from what my wife tells me, Game of Thrones is a pretty popular TV show. Not my cup of tea, but looks like you can also get every Game of Thrones book on this too. Free trial, New York Times bestsellers, that sort of stuff. So if you want to help us out, hey, you got a 45-minute commute like I do on the train? Besides listening to our show, clearly, if you're not listening live, but get an audiobook, audibletrial.com/notinthewest. Check it out. Excellent stuff there. I got some cool free books there to listen to for that 30-day trial. But back to the draft stuff. The draft is this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And there's no other news to really talk about. We're not going to talk about Mountain West baseball. There's a Cole Huff from Nevada is transferring to Creighton, so that's kind of some decent Mountain West news there for the hoopsters out there. We are actually, one little bit of news, we're actually trying to set up the off-season topics we had was to set up a dynasty for NCAA 14, EA Sports. I don't know if there's a new college football game coming out. I just know EA Sports is not doing one. So, we have a thing up there. We're trying to go through PS3 and Xbox 360, I believe. I don't have the other. I have the PlayStation, so sign up, let us know, just put your name out there. If we have an adventurous, we may do a dynasty of some sort to pass the offseason, maybe play a couple of games a week, so check it out. I've had it since Christmas, only played a handful of times, so if you match up with me, you'll probably beat me, because I'm apparently not very good. I haven't played in a couple of years, other than most recently. So that's what the news we have going on in the offseason. It looks like our man is here now. Let's pull it up. I assume this is, since I did give out the phone number the first time, I assume this is Matthew Fairburn, correct?
Yeah, this is me.
Oh, good. I gave out the phone number because we may take calls, maybe, and so I was making sure that I remember the area code. So first, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Definitely. We got a handful of stuff to talk about. I will ask some selfish questions about my two NFL teams I like, so I don't care what people have to say. I'll be asking about the Dallas Cowboys and Houston Texans later on. But first thing, we're going to just say, let's get into it. I want to talk about first, first of all, I already mentioned before, but at Matthew Fairburn on Twitter, mockinthedraft.com. You do some Jacksonville Jaguar stuff as well, so that's always interesting to know. Correct? If I read that right?
Yeah, I do a little bit of Jaguar stuff over at Big Cat Country. So I suffered through my Jaguars fandom, probably why I like the NFL draft so much.
Hey, that's definitely a good thing. Your NFL team did not, like my Texans last year, it was a struggle about week eight, week nine, when I realized they really were terrible. I'm like, oh, man. It's tough. It could be, I'm hoping this year's better, that number one pick, but we'll get to some of that later. But the first little bit I was talking about, you wrote something about Derek Carr, which I kind of already knew about a little bit with his kid all that went through. When you went through, because he's kind of all over the board like every quarterback is. So in that little piece you wrote about, it seems to me, and I assume everybody else, he's more mature than anybody else, like at least public reception-wise. You see Johnny Manziel catching footballs on his jet ski, doing the money hand sign, the Derek Carr stuff going on with his kid and things like that. What did you learn after kind of falling off of that and getting to know them a little bit when you wrote that? Was it like a week and a half ago, I believe?
Yeah, I enjoyed getting to know Derek Carr, even just a little bit that I did. He was probably the most impressive guy to talk to in Indianapolis at the scouting combine. I got a chance to sit down with him for a little while after his media session, and just talking to his family members and people around him, you just get the sense that this is a guy that's really well grounded at this point and has grown up a lot, and he's got priorities. You know, his faith, his family, and football, and that's pretty much his life. And he's a really positive, really confident, and energetic guy. And like you said, you know, he puts that out there, and he's, you know, seen as a very mature guy. And I think teams are definitely going to be seeing that. I'm sure they already have, most of them. And he's impressive. It's hard to sit down with the guy and not be impressed by just, you know, his outlook on the game, his outlook on his career and on his life. I mean, he's been through some tough times on and off the field, and I think he's probably better for it. And I think, you know, he's sort of flying under the radar in this quarterback class a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. That story's amazing. For those go read the piece, first of all. I think it's still on the front page of MockingTheDraft.com. It talks about someone to NICU and how his, I guess, then-girlfriend or fiancé kind of told him to shape up pretty much. Go read that. It's pretty cool to kind of hear a mature guy talk about how he grew quite a bit in just a couple years. But with the quarterback class, let's just start with him because he's most likely to be the number one guy for the Mountain West taken. Maybe the offensive lineman from Nevada. He's moving up pretty quickly as well. We could say a couple of things with that guy. I forget the name. So you had Joel Bentino. But with Carr, where does he really stand? Because you hear John Gruden, but I think he loves any quarterbacks in front of him, the best quarterback ever. Like, he has the biggest arm. He's number one. I don't think Carr's that – from what I've been reading from you and anywhere else, you got Bridgewater, Manziel, Bortles, and Carr is very close to that group. I know the extra 2 weeks kind of makes everybody either double think their stuff or go rewatch something again about find a minuscule thing that could be wrong with either their pro day or a game. What are your thoughts about either where he will go and what might be the best fit for this win? When will we hear his name basically this week? Kind of best fit and where he's going to end up, you believe?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Derek Carr is probably going to go a little bit higher than people think. And just from talking to him, he's just got a real – he's extremely confident that he will – that the media perception about him is not matching up with what he's getting from GMs and coaches. He's very adamant about that. So I think there's a real chance he could be, you know, first-round pick. And on our podcast last week, I actually made the prediction that he would be he would not be the fourth quarterback off the board, that he would be, you know, one of those top three quarterbacks off the board. And I think it's just a matter of, like you said, there's going to be places where he fits really well. I think you look at Arizona, I think he would fit really well there with, you know, the vertical style offense. I don't know if there's a quarterback in this class that throws the ball deep as well as Derek Carr does. I think Cleveland is a good fit late in that first round. And, you know, I think there's a good drop-off after Carr, and that's what's going to cause some teams to maybe take a shot late in the first round. And I'm not convinced – I'm not ruling out him going even earlier, top 15. I mean, Tennessee could be a fit. You know, Cleveland's picking four, so that they'll have two shots at Carr potentially. And, you know, Tampa Bay could be a fit, you know, with his old quarterback coach there. There's a lot of play. I just think he's going to end up going higher than people think because I'm not sure there's that much separating him from a lot of the other quarterbacks. And a lot of the way these quarterbacks come off the board is going to depend a lot on, you know, scheme fit and individual team preferences. And I think, you know, if you want a quarterback that can throw the ball deep and, you know, beat a team vertically, then Derek Carr is your guy in this class, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's a first-round pick.
Okay, so as going through so many mock drafts, you guys do different ones throughout, whether you'll do trades, or I assume you guys just mix it up because you can really keep it very similar unless some big news happens. Are quarterbacks really, because I think you guys did one a while ago where, like, very few quarterbacks, I don't know if it's you or Dan Cade or whichever one did the draft, you guys kind of take turns doing different ones. So is the quarterback class finally stabilizing? Because last year, as well as Geno Smith, he fell so far to the Jets in the early second round. Is that the same case this year, that quarterbacks are going to fall? Or is that just kind of people overthinking things? So you see, oh, Manziel's not going to go high. Carr is his second or third round. I see Zach Mettenberg or Tom Savage shoot up to the end of the 32 to 35th pick. How is the class shaping up overall? Because I've just seen – it's either low or high. It's kind of bounce. It's like a pogo stick, up and down every other week.
Yeah, I mean, if I knew what the quarterback class, I'd be a happy man if I knew what this quarterback class was going to look like on Thursday night. I couldn't tell you which one will be the first quarterback off the board and when that will be. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see three of them go in the top 10, and I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, one go in the top 10. So it's a very, like you said, it's a very fluid situation. It seems like, you know, guys are moving up and down. And, you know, the league perception of the quarterbacks may not match, you know, the media perception. In that, you know, I think there are, you know, four pretty strong quarterbacks, Bridgewater, Bortles, Manziel, and Carr. I think those guys are probably all worth considering in the first round. We've had Bridgewater number one and sort of head and shoulders above the rest for most of the process. But it's starting to look like Bridgewater won't be that first guy off the board. And then so you might see these quarterbacks fall, and it's going to be – it will be the storyline to follow on Thursday night, because once they start falling, you get into that late first round, teams are going to be sort of clamoring to trade up a little bit. And
yeah,
it's
a lot
funny
of moves,
because
a lot of moves.
That's what I'm expecting, a lot of trading. And there's so many teams that need quarterbacks, especially in that top 10, that if they all pass, it's going to be very interesting to see which one of them wants to jump back in and take a quarterback late in the first round.
Yeah, that's always exciting. Like, oh, this guy, like the Aaron Rodgers thing, dropping and dropping a while back, and finally lands in Green Bay. One last thing on the quarterbacks, though. With Derek Carr, everybody knows, well, actually kind of two things a bit, with his brother David Carr. I was, like I said, thinking, I was a Texans fan years ago in their expansion team. I realized, after him getting the sack, rookie record for sack or records every year, it wasn't his fault. It's kind of a bad situation. Let's let the Texans, let's get an aging Tony Boselli in the expansion draft, who was terrible. Like, it was Jacksonville, so you probably know a little bit coming over from what he was, nothing to the Texans. Is that perception just because of the way Carr played out, that he says it's not Houston just because getting his head bashed into the turf every week, multiple times a game? Is that still hanging on to his younger brother, Derek? Because it seems like people, because my brother's from Houston, like, stay away from Carr, whether they take him number one or whatever they do, if they're going to consider him. Is that something that Texans are shying away from, or should people really care about that? Because they're, just because they went to the same school, same last name, they're still kind of different players, and situations are clearly different.
Yeah, I think, you know, their situations are definitely different, but I think I think it would be silly to think that it's not still affecting him in some way. Seth Wickersham from ESPN wrote a big thing on how the two are sort of still connected. And, you know, I think Derek's getting peppered with questions about David during the process. And, you know, it's interesting because, like you said, it's sort of a dark cloud hanging over Derek because his brother wasn't wildly successful in the NFL like everyone thought he would be. But when Derek talks about it, he views it as a positive for him just because he's got a brother who's gone through it, who's, you know, taken some bumps and, you know, seen what works and what doesn't work. And he's able to, you know, help Derek through this process, which is a definite bonus. But I do think that there's going to be some teams that may, you know, at least were grilling him about that, you know, what makes you different than your brother, things like that. And I think it's a whole new regime in Houston. I'm sure it's in the back of their minds, but if Derek Carr is a quarterback they really like, then I wouldn't be surprised to see them, you know, make that move. But like you said, they're a little bit different players, so I think similar in some ways, and hopefully Derek gets a better chance to show what he can do, because, you know, David, like you said, really didn't get a good chance behind that offensive line and never really got the chance to develop it, you know, like any other rookie quarterback. So hopefully Derek gets thrown into a better situation, and, you know, he may not get drafted as high, but he might be more successful.
Definitely. And you can answer yes or no to this last question, because we've done some of the quarterback questions on Carr. Is there any truth to his brother David, like the Cleveland Browns, say, oh, you can come in as a backup? Is there any truth to that story, that where Derek goes, David wants to come along and be whether a second or third string quarterback?
Yeah, I think that's something teams will definitely look at. I think it's a good idea. They've been training together, and you know, David knows Derek really well. I don't think Derek needs his brother to be there in order to be successful, but I don't think it would hurt. And David still wants to play in the league, so I'm sure teams are looking into that.
Okay, I just think it's more of a, hey, little brother, help me out here. If you can't get a team to get back, not a bad deal, do you? Hey, league minimum still a couple hundred grand, so that's a nice thing to possibly get. So let's move on. Enough quarterbacks, so mid-first round perhaps teams could get him. I think Arizona's the best fit as well. Could be really good if he's going to start right away. So there's a few other positions to talk about. There's so many players, but a few guys who interest me a lot. And one is, we'll stick with Fresno State, Davante Adams. He, watching him play, he just seems like freakish athlete, catches anything that comes in his way. There was a few issues when he played Utah State in the title game when he dropped a few balls, but heck, when Nevin Lawson's guarding you on top of you, that could be expected because he's also to be drafted reasonably somewhere in the mid-rounds, I believe, if I'm correct on that. But Adams seems to be shooting up the draft board. What do you kind of think about what he could be? Because he had a great offense with Derek Carr throwing the ball. They had so many weapons at Fresno. Was it either it's either this good or is it because they had so many weapons that made them that good because nobody could guard every receiver they have on that team?
I think Davante Adams is legit. I think he's one of the 10 best wide receivers in this class. I think he made a good move declaring for the draft. I like his ability to, you know, get up and grab the football. I think he can really he jumps pretty high. He's got a basketball background, and it definitely shows. And his route running, he's very smooth as a runner, and he gets separation pretty easily. I think if he, you know, bulks up a little bit is probably the biggest thing with him, get a little bit stronger. He's not, like, going to blow you away with, you know, size or speed, but I do think he's got a natural feel for catching the football and getting separation and knowing how to make plays. And I do think he was, you know, definitely helped out quite a bit by the offense he played in. But even more so than the weapons around him, he benefited from having, you know, a really good quarterback throwing him the football. You know, Derek Carr and Davante Adams were a really good match in terms of their strengths. I think Davante Adams is a good deep threat because of his ability to track the football and willingness to attack it in the air. So I thought it was a really good match, and it probably inflated Adams' statistics a little bit. But, I mean, that's the way it goes. I mean, 131 catches for 1,700 yards and 24 touchdowns is pretty ridiculous,
yeah,
no matter what offense you're playing in. So I think he's the real deal, and I think he's going to be a pretty good value for someone in the second or third round.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. 100 receptions each year, freshman and sophomore year. I was looking around kind of places that would go to where he could land at. One of the spots that intrigued me the most, where I've actually seen some teams mock drafts and ranking wise where he could be a good fit. I'm thinking if you're going to go anywhere and step in right away to be I know it's hard for wide receivers to step in right away day one to be a very good or at least above average. I think Carolina could be that fit because Lewis D. Smith, it looks like they don't want any wide receivers in Carolina or anything there. Do you think that could be a good spot, maybe like their second round pick for where Carolina's picking for Adams, just because there's no competition? It seems like he could be a starter right away.
Yeah, I think that would be a good spot for him. Like you said, he could jump in there and get a chance at early playing time. And, you know, Carolina, the way this wide receiver class is sort of set up, Carolina, you know, obviously has a desperate need at wide receiver, but they might not be smart to take one late in the first round because they also have a pretty big need at offensive tackle. But the beauty of this wide receiver class is you can get a guy like Adams late in the second round. And, you know, I think he could be an impact player pretty early on. He may need some time, you know, to adjust to the, you know, a different style of offense and, you know, the level of competition. And like I said, he needs to get a little bit stronger. But if you can be getting guys like Adams in the second round, that gives teams flexibility in the first round. And, you know, this is a really, really good wide receiver class. And the fact that Adams is one of the 10 best in there, that, you know, that we have him, you know, rated as such is definitely high praise, because there are a lot of good wideouts in this class, and he decided to throw his name in the hat early, I think it's going to pay off for him. I think Carolina is a team that makes sense. I mean, some other teams have kicked around the idea of him, you know, getting drafted by maybe Pittsburgh in the second round. They could be looking at a wide receiver. Even a team like New England might not be out of the running for a wide receiver right now, and you know, with all the problems they've had with their receivers over the last few years, I think there's going to be a lot of teams going after wideouts in the second round, so it should be interesting. Maybe the Rams, you know, take another shot at a wide receiver, and the Ravens, the Jets are all teams that could be in that mix, and I know the Chiefs and Eagles are going to be, you know, looking for wide receivers as well, depending how far Adams falls. So I think he's going to have a lot of suitors, and I'm sure he'll be I'd be pretty confident that he'll be a second-round pick.
They don't know who the quarterback is. It would be this Duke who transferred him recently. So I'm intrigued by Wyoming to bring Robert Barron. He seemed to be a touchdown machine in 2012 and kind of kept that up this past year. And because their offense would, when Dave Chris is to the draft, do you think, like, Karen, do you think he'll legitimately keep deep threat? Of course, he did both. It seemed to me the deep also like a anywhere at Karen. He had, I think, his first 30 touchdown rate. He had 32 or 70, but he kept scoring at a high continually growing and to have the speed. Questions here, Matt, but what do you kind of think? Like, continue what he did, the main part.
Robert Herron is an interesting prospect. He's super explosive in and out of his breaks, and I don't know, you know, he was a great deep threat for Wyoming, and he was a big part of that offense, really good after the catch. I think in the NFL he fits a little bit better inside in the slot, just because he is so explosive in and out of those cuts, and that's how he wins. That's how he gets separation. And when the ball's in his hand, he's surprisingly strong when he has the ball in his hands. He's tough to bring down, and he's really compact, and he's pretty built. And you see a lot of his explosiveness once the ball's in his hand. I think he'll be a good slot receiver. And again, this is a deep class, so, you know, where he comes off the board will be interesting. But I think, you know, early third round, somewhere in the third round, I think is going to be a good fit for him. And, you know, any team that's out there looking for a slot receiver, you know, Heron's one of those guys that, you know, should be able to adjust to that role very quickly. I think he's physically ready to do that. I know he looks small and on paper, you know, think he's undersized, but I think he's really strong after the catch. And that's what one of my favorite things about him, in addition to that short area quickness he has. I think he can survive on the outside in the NFL. I just think you're probably going to get more out of him if you use him as a slot receiver.
Okay, hold on. Hey, you still there, Matthew? Apparently they kicked me out. My internet sucks tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm still here.
It just sounds like you stopped talking. I'm like, oh, here we go. I get the little message in my ear. I'm like, okay. Okay, let's just move on. I don't know if you probably didn't hear what I was saying. I assumed you wrapped up anyways if I didn't respond back. But sticking with Wyoming and Brett, now we got Brett Smith. I like him a lot from what he can do because he can move a little bit in the pocket. He can throw reasonably well. I remember reading somewhere right after he announced, I don't know if this was just trying to make headlines or something, but saying Manziel could be, this guy I mentioned, but Brett Smith could actually be I think he went with the value over Manziel because they kind of play the same. Brett Smith just seems an odd situation because there's a lot of good quarterbacks. Like even after the four, you got Garoppolo, you guys, Mettenberg, Savage, all sorts of a lot of guys there. Then I think Manziel falls below that group. If I could speak properly, right? Brett Smith. But what are your kind of thoughts on him? Like one question I ask you about the other team, like the Dallas Cowboys. Could he be a fit like in the third, if he's around in the fourth round to go to the Cowboys, and would that fit if they continue what to do the next couple of years? Like, what's your basic thoughts on him? And also tie it into my Cowboys if you can at all, if that works.
Yeah, Brett Smith, I was a little surprised when he declared for the draft. Just because I thought he could use another year of, you know, maybe that offense wasn't doing it for him. And I think, you know, the idea of him being, you know, a lesser version, like a poor man's Johnny Manziel is a pretty good one. He's a really, really athletic quarterback, and he can definitely make plays on the run. And he's got a strong arm. I think he needs to clean up his mechanics a bit, his footwork and things like that. But in terms of a developmental quarterback, I'm not sure you can get, you know, much better than a guy like Brett Smith, who, you know, clearly he's got a chip on his shoulder for whatever reason. Things didn't work out too great, I guess, this year for him. He didn't get invited to the combine. And he seems to be a little bit pissed off about it, which is good. I mean, that's what you want. He's going to be willing to get better. And like you said, a team like the Cowboys, I think, would make a bit of sense, especially, you know, they had some success developing Tony Romo, who was an undrafted guy. And I think Brett Smith, not totally unlike Romo in the way he plays. I think he's a bit more athletic and makes more plays with his legs. But if the Cowboys are as interested as they seem to be in Johnny Manziel, I'm sure their tires on Brett Smith as well. And we have him as our number 8 quarterback on our final ranking. So you know, I don't know if he'll get drafted that high, but we think pretty highly of him. I think he's got a lot of the tools to be successful. It's going to be a matter of going to a situation where he has some time to develop before he gets thrown into the fire.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I just don't want the Cowboys to pick a quarterback in round one and basically giving up because they're reasonably good on offense and run one other good talent they have there. I just don't want them to give up with the first or second round quarterback. So I'm thinking Smith, maybe around 3 or 4, he can develop and then still attempt to get 8-8, which they seem to be averaging the past 5 years. All right, let's kind of move on. How do you feel? Let's kind of get quick things up here, and I'll kind of keep my questions shorter. You guys, there's DeMarcus Lawrence from Boise State. I've talked to my other coach who's not here tonight. He thinks he could be the best player out of this whole class of the Mountain West. This is what he does. He had 2 years in Boise State. He led the Mountain West combined in sacks and tackles for the last 2 years just by missing a few games for whatever violation of team rules. How high can he shoot up? Because I've seen his name some places, but then you don't hear about him too much. And then looks like just reading around, I think he could be a high pick. But what are your kind of overall thoughts about what can he continue his same pace? Like, is he going to be that same style of player in college and the pros? Or do they have to make any changes?
Yeah, I think DeMarcus Lawrence could very well be a first-round pick. He might be one of those surprise guys at the end of the first round. It's going to be interesting to see what team drafts him because, you know, he's a bit flexible in his body type and his playing style, where you could have him with his hand in the dirt in a 4-3 coming off the edge, but you could probably move him to linebacker as well if you wanted to. I like him as a down lineman in a 4-3. I think he's got a lot of skills coming off the edge. I think he bends the edge really well. He's got a strong first step, and he knows how to use his length to his advantage. He plays with good leverage. He's a guy that caught my eye. I did the Mountain West when we break it up by conference in preseason and sort of attack things that way. And I did the Mountain West, and he was one of my favorite players that I watched over the summer just because he's got so much raw ability, and he started to put it together a lot this year. And I think teams at the end of the first round that need a pass rusher are going to definitely be looking at DeMarcus Lawrence. I think a team like the Saints makes sense for him. I think I've had him going as high as 22 to Philadelphia. So I think he's a guy that could come off the board early. And like you said, he might be that first Mountain West player off the board.
Interesting. I know Chris would be very happy about that because he thinks he's going to be the best thing, which, hey, he looks like he could possibly be. With the same with defense, you get Shaquille Barrett from Colorado State. He blew up last year the year before not doing as great. Yeah, I remember watching him one cool play in the bowl game. He just, right before Washington State just screwed up the game and let Colorado State back in it, he just dives through, he's super strong. He just tears the ball out of the dude's hand and takes it from the running back. What is his strength? Because I kind of seem production-wise similar to what Lawrence is past year. And Colorado State was, 7-6 or just an okay team. Is he getting the same consideration as Lawrence, or is he more of a, he did the 1 year, played at a lesser school, it hasn't been that great, but he had good numbers just because of maybe benefiting of being the best player in a defense that was just okay.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see a guy who's that productive almost out of nowhere. And you try to figure out, you know, what's sort of causing that production. I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, he's pretty skilled coming off the edge. He's another guy that seems to bend really well and, you know, keeps his momentum well through contact, and I like that about him. But it's going to be interesting because he's not really built, you know, to play one particular position in the NFL, and he's not, you know, the most talented, not the most gifted guy in terms of just being an explosive player and being fast. I think he needs to get a bit stronger, but I do think that, you know, he's a guy that's bounced around a lot and, you know, ended up finding the right fit for him and really breaking out pretty well this year. So I think as a situational pass rusher, you know, playing maybe a little bit of linebacker and things like that, kind of like he did in college, I think you can get something out of him. I think he's a late rounder, though, and I think he's probably mostly a situational player in the NFL just because physically he doesn't have a lot of the traits that allow him to be an every-down guy, either at linebacker or defensive end.
Interesting.
Okay, good stuff. I want to let's kind of have a few more things. I want to be going for a while here, but let's do one more quarterback question here. I remember last year at this time, David Fells from San Jose State projections, he'll be a first-round pick, move up pretty high, be a top 10 pick perhaps. San Jose State is pretty awful this past year. Their red zone was – we always joked. Anytime they got – their red zone offense was just horrific. They had no running game. They had a couple good receivers, Chandler Jones. Grimsby got hurt, but they had a few guys who are okay. And I see somewhere he could be a decade-long backup in the NFL, which, heck, if you can do that, that's pretty good career to do. What changed from the very, very early year ago till throughout the season, just not the best play? The only thing I could see that really, looking at just numbers-wise – his completion percentage dropped to, I think, from 72 to about 65. Still pretty good. But everything else was about on par with he played extra game. Nothing stood out jumping up. So what was the reason for just the drop off the board? Other guys getting better or him not improving as much?
I think it was a combination of things working against Fails this year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he had a new coach, a new offensive coordinator at San Jose State.
I know they had a new head coach. They had a new head, Ron Carragher, a new head coach. So that could have been
The new head coach. Yeah, there was a lot of change. And like you said, they were not a very good team this year. And that sort of hurt Fails. I'll say this. We were probably a little too high on him preseason, but we still have him as our number six quarterback in this class. Dan kind of makes fun of me because I'm still pretty high on David Fails at this point. And I think he's one of those quarterbacks in the third round that can develop into a starter. And, you know, the one thing that concerns me is he still isn't putting great velocity on his passes. And you'd like to see him do that if he's going to be a starter in the NFL. What I like about him, though, is he's really good in the pocket. He feels pressure really well. He throws the ball accurately with anticipation to pretty much every area of the field, which I like. You know, some of his numbers dropped off this year. I think he was pressing a little bit, making some decisions and throws that, you know, you didn't see him make the year before. And like I said, he still needs to develop some velocity, but a lot of that comes from mechanics. I think he sort of tries to throw all with his upper body at times, and that leaves, you know, some passes float on him a bit. But I'm still pretty high on David Fails. I know he doesn't have all the tools that, you know, Blake Bortles or Derek Carr or Zach Mettenberger have, but he's got a lot going on between the ears, and he really understands how to play the position, seems to have a natural feel for it. And I think he's a guy that, like you said, at the very worst, you're getting a guy that's going to be a backup for a really long time just because he's really smart, he understands the position, and I think he's going to stick around. And I'm, you know, hoping that the Jaguars take a guy like David Fails at some point during the draft. And it kind of reminds me last year of Zach Dysart from Miami of Ohio. He ended up going really late, and he was a guy I was pretty high on and was still pretty hopeful that he can develop. I think Fails is one of my favorite quarterbacks in this class, and, you know, we'll see. A lot will depend on where he lands and how he fits into the scheme. But he has a lot of skills that I'm sure NFL teams really like.
Yeah, I was reading through all this stuff. As I was watching him, I watched a handful of their games. Yeah, the deep passing, like over 15 or 20 yards, can be questionable. So maybe he gets someplace indoors that'd be nice, not a windy place like Pittsburgh to throw the ball around. Could definitely help a little bit. But, yeah, I just saw the drop. I'm like, because I was looking through a few things the other day. I'm like, wow, he has a first rally. My first few things I've written about very early. I'm like, oh, man, what a fall. And production was reasonably the same outside of the team production. His individual stuff was good. So I got two more things for you, really, because, well, like I said, a long time. What's up with, like, Capri Bibbs? She had the long journey to get to Colorado State. Very good in high school in Chicago. Went to junior college. Took, like, 20 million credits. He said, what, semester 25 credits to get through. He's only had one really good year. Like, 1 year only at FBS level, and we know Colorado State's not the best. He didn't really start until, I think, game three, and that was kind of by circumstantial injuries to guys in front of him a little bit. Then he just tore it up with the fourth player ever with 30-plus touchdowns and the rushing in the year. How is he viewed? Because one good year, okay competition, but just the 1 year, competition. How does that factor in to where he could be going? And plus, I know the NFL is devaluing running backs as the main guy for the most part.
Yeah, I think you're always worried about level of competition and systems when it comes to running backs, and especially a guy that's a little bit undersized, like Capri Vibbs is. But he's got a lot of muscle on his frame, and he's got pretty good vision. I think he's probably a guy that's going to end up, being a really late pick if he gets picked at all. And, he had great production, which you like to see. If you're going to play at, lower competition, you better dominate. And I think he did at times. And he's a guy that he's right on the edge there of getting drafted or not getting drafted. And I think just the fact that he was able to put on some weight, get stronger, still show that vision. We've seen a lot of late round running backs come in and be surprisingly productive early on. So I wouldn't count that out for him. I just think, he doesn't break a ton of tackles, and you see him running in a lot of open space against some of the games this year. So those are some of the issues with him, but I do think, he's got the makings to be at least a depth guy at running back and, maybe a third down change of pace type guy if he can develop a little bit as a receiver. So he had a great year. He was a lot of fun to watch, but
he
gets drafted.
I agree most. I think part of it, Colorado State had an experienced offensive line, and then Weston Richburg probably could be the first center off the board, say, a pulling center for that fact. He actually did have a lot of athleticism, but they had a pretty good line that helped out a lot. Last kind of overall general question a bit. I was reading through some of these players in Mountain West, so some guy actually, I did something on the Colorado State Center today on Weston Richburg. I got an email from, I guess, his family member. Apparently,
that same email, actually.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, all the family members who play Division I football, just whatever, all the athletes are like, I just got that tip. Like, okay, so you know what I'm referring to, all those players. And so, and then there's another guy, I think, who's in San Jose State, has his Taylor Jones, I believe it was, his dad played in the NFL. How big a factor is that? And you got Derek Carr's brother. How big a factor do teams take in if your other family members either play in the NFL, all these Division I athletes? Does that really make a difference of what they could be, where they could be taken, especially if you're like Chandler Jones, may not get drafted or late, depending where he could be at, doesn't play special teams. How does that factor into those type of guys to be, we'll take them two picks higher just because of the family genetics or experience they've got from family members?
I'm sure it definitely, plays a role, just because, Drake Matthews is another guy that, he's got NFL bloodline. He's obviously going to be a high pick regardless, but it doesn't hurt at all. And I think, where you see it definitely come into play is just a guy like Weston Richburg is going to know what it takes to be successful at a high level, because that's just what he's been around his entire life. And, that plays a role. That definitely comes across when you're meeting with teams and when you're going through the entire process. You're just a little more well-prepared, and that probably helps those teams feel a little bit better about picking you. They do so much work investigating so many, every little thing about a player. And if they have a guy that they know is, solid, has a family that's all sort of been through it and all succeeded in various sports at high levels, then they probably feel a little bit better about that guy. And that's not to say that just because all your family members made it to the NFL that you're going to be a good NFL player or that you're even prepared for it, but I think it says something about how he was raised and the type of probably some of the things that he learned and just every little thing he's picked up. I'm sure a lot of that's rubbed off on him. I knew he had some family members that were successful athletes, but I didn't realize just how
there's a lot of them,
big time of an athlete family that is. That was a long list when I saw that today. I was pretty surprised. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay, now this is for real the last question. Okay, I keep debating, who do you think, with my co-host here, Chris, who happened to not be here for, I'll call him lazy just because I can, he's not here to defend himself, but who do you think in 5 years, or 5 to 8 years, who do you think will be the best player out of the Mountain West class? I know it depends where they're taken and situation stuff, but who do you think will be either like best value or just be the best player in the next 5 or 6 years out of this crop of who they, their 20 guys are? That's quite a bit high. Maybe 10 guys that get drafted.
Yeah, it's a tough question, and it's one that if I had to pick right now, I think Weston Richburg is probably, you know, the safest pick. I think he's going to be a really, really good player at center, and it may go a little bit unnoticed for a lot of people because he is a center, but I think, you know, he'll get picked on day two. He'll probably start from day one, and he'll probably be, you know, a really, really productive player in the NFL and a guy that can, you know, play for you for a long time. I feel pretty good about him being a big-time player, and the other two that, you know, have a chance to, you know, probably surpass him because they play more premier positions are Derek Carr and DeMarcus Lawrence, who we talked about. Carr is going to depend where he lands, and Lawrence the same thing. I mean, I always bring up last year Deion Jordan, the defensive end from Oregon. When he got picked by the Dolphins, I was kind of just like, I was banging my head against the wall because this scheme fit didn't make any sense, and Deion Jordan was a player I liked a lot. So, you know, I liked DeMarcus Lawrence a lot, but if he lands in the wrong spot, then, you know, that could be detrimental to him. So, the safest bet out of the Mountain West players, I'm, you know, fairly confident that you're going to get a really good NFL player in Weston Richburg, and so that would be my guess. But it's a good group this year. I'm pretty impressed with the crop overall. I think guys like Joel Bitonio, who we touched on a little bit earlier, is got a chance to be a pretty good player. He's a pretty versatile offensive lineman. Guy like Tyler Larson, the center from Utah State. I think there's a lot of good players in coming out of the Mountain West this year. But I like Richburg the best.
Okay, it is a good pick, and he probably will go unnoticed the most part unless he screws up getting a nose, allowing a nose tackle to give up a sack or something. I like Devontae Adams depending where it lands. Lawrence is a clear choice in Carr. Depends where they go. So I know how difficult that is to answer. Bona, thank you so much. You spent much more time than you probably wanted to, 45 minutes or so talking about this. But Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. And I assume you're going to be very busy up through the weekend and the week after. So everybody check out his stuff at mockingthedraft.com, at Matthew Fairburn on Twitter. And just get some rest, and hopefully it works out for you for the weekend. Everything goes smoothly, and the players go where you want.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Always good talking to you guys about the Mountain West. It's a fun little conference, and I enjoy it. I think you guys got a lot of good prospects coming out this year, so I'm always happy to spend the time talking to you guys about it.
All right, thanks, Matthew. Good luck with the rest of the stuff.
Thanks.
See ya. All right, everybody. Once again, that was Matthew Fairburn from mockingthedraft.com. At Matthew Fairburn on Twitter. Excellent, excellent, excellent stuff. I did toss up the number. I don't care that nobody called in. It'd be fun because I know we get about 4 or 5 listeners at a time, maybe. Let me rephrase that. Live listeners. We get plenty after, just during live, since we don't do the same time every day. But look at that. Excellent. I'm glad I had Matthew come on the show. I emailed him. I talked to his partner, Dan, talked to the other guys all on busy at camp, but perfect fit for Matthew. He followed the Mountain West through the summer. That was part of one of the conferences he's prepared to talk about throughout the year for what they do at Mock in the Draft, their profiles and stuff. So I couldn't have asked for anybody better. Great stuff. I did sneak in my Cowboys question. Brett Smith could be a good fit maybe down the road for my Cowboys. And I do like the Cowboys and Texans, so get over it. And I do see, interesting, I just think Carr could sneak into that first round, like besides the Arizona comment where most everybody feels that's a good fit. That's probably a first round, unless they keep dropping and somebody trades back in, like Cleveland can get them in their late first round, that second pick they have after number 5. I don't think they'll go that high, because we think Texans could take them maybe, but number 1, ooh. And I am glad that he thinks that, because I do know the Texans, Charlie Casserly, everybody's pretty much gone from when Carr and David Carr was there before. So there shouldn't be the perception, but then there is. It's the same. It's like Eli Manning. He did good stuff in college at Ole Miss, brother Peyton, father Archie. Yeah, he'll get the benefit of the doubt. Carr may have to prove himself a little bit more, but I still think Carr is a guy that could be perfectly fine. I know Chris is probably clapping his hands very fast about Matthew Green with DeMarcus Lawrence potentially being the best pick in the Mountain West for down the road, and also possibly being the first pick of the Mountain West overall in this draft. But excellent stuff. Like what we said about Devontae Adams, that could be a good fit. New England, Pittsburgh, Carolina, which I brought up. And Brett Smith is a poor man's Johnny Manziel a little bit, just because of production-wise, and it's where he played, and he's not the flashiness that is Johnny Football. But, man, the draft is just Thursday. Pretty amazing stuff. That if you listen, I hope everybody listens, as many people as possible listen to this, because Matthew, they do this stuff all the time. He knows what he's talking about. MockingTheDraft.com. I can just say it the rest of the way and be perfectly fine. But the draft is pushed back, so it does give us an extra week or two to go out there. We do have our draft profiles going up at MWCConnection.com. So check out all those. We have a few more coming through. I kind of do wish we could have talked to a few more players, because I know there's Nevin Lawson. He did mention Tyler Larson from Utah State Center. He should be a good. He's All-American. Should be highly picked. Pull that prospect in the draft. This is a deep crop for the Mountain West and a high crop as well, because – like you mentioned, Carr could go high. Lawrence could go high. Richburg will probably go in the second round. You got the center or lineman from Nevada. For some reason, I can't think of his name, even though he's mentioned Joel Bitani, I believe you said. I had his name listed in front of me to talk about, but a lot of stuff we could have talked about more, but heck, 45 minutes from a guy who does this all the time, and that is his gig. Awesome to have him talk about it. So, here's what our plan for the show's the rest of the week is going to people know about. And also, one last quick mention here for audible.com. Yes, audibletrial.com/Mountain West. Thank you for helping out with the show. New York Times bestsellers, Game of Thrones. Like I said, Stephen Colbert book. He reads them to you. It's like he's tucking you into bed if you listen to it at night. He's awesome. And he's just hilarious. The future show, late show, CBS. So check out that. audibletrial.com/Mountain West. We will be doing some sort of draft show, probably not another show this week because the draft is Thursday. We may do a quick video show or some sort with Chris. I will need to concur with him or meet up with him to figure out. And I don't care if I told him I can mention, tell him he's not here because he doesn't want to, because he's not here to defend himself. Kind of cheesy, but I did it. But once again, check us out, MWCConnection.com. You can find our show. Give us a rating. Go to iTunes. We're on Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, Stitcher, our website. Preferably listen through Blog Talk Radio. That helps out a bit as well if you click on that link to go through there to listen to our show. But we'll do some. We have some more draft profiles busting out this week. We will have stay glued to our site because we will have once the draft picks are gone final, up moments, literally moments after the commissioner announces a name, we'll bring stuff in from Dan stuff, Matthew stuff from Mocking the Draft. Put that on the website as well. So we'll be the spot to be for Mountain West content for the weekend of the draft and the undrafted guys afterwards. We will definitely have a show Monday or so after, just going over everything, kind of seeing who went where, talking about what players could do well, like where they're going to be at, and just kind of overview the draft if I'm rambling on here at the end, which I tend to do by myself. But check out that. Again, mockingthedraft.com, Matthew Fairborn joined us this evening. And hey, thanks for everybody for listening to this show tonight. Just keep following the website, follow us on Twitter, and then hey, just keep stopping by. And I hope you love what we do for you. And everybody have a good rest of your day whenever you listen to this.